Patricia Camilleri, Director of the Communications and Alumni Relations Office here at the University. In this series called Research Matters, I shall be discussing a wide range of research projects in which our academics are currently involved. I would like to welcome today Dr. Isabel Stabile, who comes from the Department of Anatomy in the Faculty of Medicine and Surgery here on campus. However, she's here today as a researcher involved in a project entitled Tempus Medtra, an occupational medicine training course. Thank you for coming into the studios, Dr. Stabile.
Thank you very much.
Perhaps you could explain to us what the MEDTRA acronym stands for. The EU loves acronyms, and this is just another of them. And a little bit about how the project came to be.
Indeed. Yes, acronyms are very interesting, aren't they? I'm not sure I can tell you exactly what each of those letters stand for. However, the concept is one of creating an occupational medicine training course. This program is funded by the European Commission. The idea behind the METRA project is bringing partner universities from a number of EU member states, bringing them together and inviting them to cooperate with other non-EU partner countries in projects that have as a goal one of modernization. In terms of higher education, bringing the standard of the whole of the Mediterranean up to a level that everyone, to a point where everyone can collaborate.
And in fact, this is an interesting point, that one thinks of EU projects and that perhaps they're all just EU countries, but in this particular case, this is the Tempus Meda action, which is directed at creating projects which are not just EU-based.
Indeed. The training partners are, of course, all EU-based universities, and we'll go into that. But the trainees and the host country in this case is actually Syria. This is very interesting because, of course, Syria, a very ancient country with a long history of education, has over the years been, you know, perhaps marginalized in terms of its politics. And the idea, however, behind this project is to look at what its needs are in terms of occupational medicine. And the answer is very many. There is no occupational medicine trainee or qualified individual in the country. So the original project came about, I think, in the early, I think it was 2006. In fact, the first coordinator of this project, in terms of the Maltese side of it, was Professor Camilleri Podestà. And she asked me to take over last summer at the planning stage of trying to bring together a number of different universities. So there is a team, as you might imagine. There are teams. The team contains individuals with academic expertise in the topic, technical expertise, of course, as well, and clinical expertise. This team is directed primarily by Rome University, La Sapienza. The project director is based there. We have a contribution. And interestingly, we are partnering with three universities in Syria. One is the University of Damascus, which is the capital, but there are also two smaller partner institutions. One is in Aleppo, and the other is in Homs. It's called the Al-Bath University. Another interesting point regarding this project is that we also have, as an active partner, the Syrian Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs.
Why should they have got involved, really?
Yes, good question. As I mentioned earlier, Syria does not have a well-structured occupational health, occupational medicine workforce. There's a very, very skeletal structure at the moment. So the idea is, if we can start training individuals, and at the end of 3 years have a cadre of people who have a master's in occupational medicine, perhaps these individuals will then be in a position to guide, influence, and possibly apply some pressure on the government on, in terms of introducing legislation that will cover safety in the workplace. Who better than a clinician to say these are the problems that people in the workplace face? So these are the kinds of conditions, these are the kinds of safety issues that we must enshrine in law. So the idea is, let's get the government on board at the very beginning, not at the very end when, you know, everything's been done and then they come in and they say, no, no, we didn't want it that way, we wanted it this way.
You want them to feel they own the project from the beginning.
We want them to feel that they can actively participate if they wish, yes, and they obviously have done so in terms of looking at the overall structure of the course module that we're providing.
In fact, you mentioned the Syrian context. It must be quite difficult to transpose, perhaps, the working practices in Rome or even indeed in Malta to a Syrian context. I would imagine that one would have to sort of know what the Syrian context is before actually trying to amend it in any way.
Yes, I think that's a good point. I mean, I always tell my students that I learn as much from them as they learn from me, at least I hope I do. And I think this is very much a case in point. As you realize as we go through this talk today, this course is not purely a theoretical course. There's 2 years of theory, but there is 1 year of practice. And the practical component is, in fact, based in Rome. So it does have a European dimension. But the overall idea is that the tutors in the clinical, if you like, in the practical component, will gather information regarding the practices in Syria and incorporate those into the clinical placements that they might experience in Rome.
And this is a project that is being paid for through the Tempus Meda project funding.
Yes. The European Union has provided a relatively small amount of money, I must say, for this project, which is a 40 months of duration, including planning and dissemination, of about 100,000 euros, of which obviously our share at the University of Malta is only a fraction. I certainly would have thought that something as large as this would have warranted a somewhat larger funding base, but I'm sure that this is all to do with being able to ensure that the money there is spread around into more projects.
Yes, I must say the amount did strike me as being slightly on the small side, but somebody must have been very good at working out the costings.
Indeed.
Before we move on to the content of the project, perhaps I'd like to remind listeners that this is Research Matters, and I'm Patricia Camilleri, talking to Dr. Isabel Stabile. The key actions of the project, Dr. Stabile, what are they really?
Yes, as I said before, this occupational medicine course did not exist. I guess many universities have their own course, but no one, we did not have anything that was suited for this particular country. So the first part of the project, I think it was about 9 to 12 months, was the creation, basically, of the training course itself, the training materials. What are we going to teach? How are we going to teach it? Does it make sense in the Syrian context, as you said yourself? So that planning phase has been completed, and we are now in the second phase, which is the actual implementation of the teaching. We'll go into that a little bit more later, but basically this is a two-year theoretical course, actually based in Damascus. So the tutors will travel from Rome, from Malta, and go to Damascus to deliver the training in-house to the trainees there.
I gather that's not exactly an easy itinerary either.
I really have to say that it isn't, no. There is no direct flight, as you can imagine, from Malta to Damascus. You can go through Rome, and those of you who've had the opportunity to do that any time in the recent past will know how interesting that journey can be. Obviously, entry into Syria requires a visa, which is also a challenge to obtain because we do not have an embassy on the island. That can be done at Rome, can be done through our partners in Rome, or it can actually be done at the airport when you arrive. against payment of a fee, which is always a little scary because you know that you're told that that is what will happen, but you don't really know for sure that it will actually happen. So there you are at, you know, having arrived, making sure that someone will in fact give you your little piece of paper in exchange for, you know, a few euros. Having said that, I will tell you that the Syrian, our Syrian partners have been most excellent hosts. And accommodation is really very comfortable. Travel is really quite amenable. And we haven't had any major problems once we get there. It's really making the travel arrangements. It's also not terribly cheap to get there. So it's not, you know, the travel part is not something we can really save on, unfortunately.
But, Damascus is, I must say, one of those places I have on my list of places I really must go to and haven't been to yet.
Yes. It
certainly summons up a lot of sort of interesting pictures in yes. one's mind.
Yes, and I agree. I must say that is very true. Of course, the center of Damascus is a bustling metropolis full of cars and smoke. But you are right. The images that one conjures up in one's mind of the antiquities and the history there are very powerful.
And the theoretical course in Syria at Damascus University, how long has that been going on, or has it not started yet?
Oh, no. The first year was completed. We are about ready to start. Well, no, the second academic year has actually just started. So they've had one full year. Now, I must mention that the trainees, of whom there are 20, come from three different parts of Syria. So, and they're all doctors. They have a job to do. So they literally come together for periods of a week at a time to listen to experts, teach them about the basic principles of occupational medicine. So they come together for a week and then off they go back to their, you know, to their home states to do their work. Each module covers a number of different topics, and we'll go into it later. But at the end of the year, there are obviously these little things called examinations that seem to come and get in the way of all of our progress. And then if they pass, which they have done, they will move on to the second year. And, in fact, the second academic year has just started. So we expect to finish this in May next year. And that will then take us to the third part of the third year of the course, which is the practical component. The practical component, of course, is an opportunity for the doctors to come to Rome and in small groups, in groups of four, and come for a period of time to experience a number of different occupational health settings, obviously in the Italian capital. So it's important to realize that this is not just the theoretical course. The practical component is very important.
In your contacts with the students, what has their reaction been? How have you found the reaction?
Well, that's an interesting question. So far, we've had one module delivered by our Maltese colleagues, two colleagues from the Department of Public Health, actually, Dr. Calais and Dr. Mamo. And they both came back very enthusiastic about the responses they received from the students to their teaching. I think the students seem a bit overwhelmed by the amount of, you know, the amount of work that is thrown at them and the amount of material. The course, the last module that we ran, also had a practical component because they were being taught epidemiology and statistics. So we arranged for a number of computers to be available in the teaching center. And the students had the opportunity over those 5 days to actually practice hands-on the tools that we were teaching them about. And that came over very, very well. I should say the culture, as you might imagine, in Syria and most of the Mediterranean is far more relaxed than it is in perhaps the northern part of Europe. So there is always, you know, a tendency to sit back and allow things to progress on their own and maybe not turn up exactly on time and perhaps take a longer lunch break. We know what that's like, and one just needs to be relatively firm and move things
rounded.
Along. Indeed.
Absolutely. They must have found Rome quite interesting, I would imagine.
Yes.
Especially for those who many of them probably hadn't been to Rome before.
No, I believe they've been to Rome once, but they will all go again in the second, as I said, in the third year. And I can imagine that will be quite an interesting experience for them. One of the activities that is funded through the EU is, in fact, improving the equipment and technology that's available at the University of Damascus in order to be able to deliver this course. So some of the funding actually went to buy computers and buy audiovisual aids and actually make it possible for the training to occur. So, I mean, we feel that that's a long-lasting, yes, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a long-lasting result of the EU funding.
Without a doubt. And the next one?
Well, perhaps the most important, at the end of the day, way in which something like this can continue to live past funding is to have a base, if you like, and to create a center or an institute or a department of occupational medicine within the University of Damascus. Our goal really is to have a few of these trainees who will eventually graduate with a master's in occupational medicine, a few of them interested in being employed by the center and becoming the trainers for the future generation of trainees in this subject. So I think this is a very important concept that will serve to keep this project alive in Syria. We hope that when this happens, there will be a center in Damascus and also two smaller centers in the other two universities I mentioned earlier.
About the course content, without obviously going into details, which I certainly wouldn't understand myself, perhaps you could just sort of run through the areas of study that the students have to go through.
Yes. As you can imagine, occupational medicine is the study of illnesses that result from exposure to anything at the workplace. So the first part of the module covers what those types of things could be, anything from noise and dust and pollution and, of course, injuries from falls and stuff like that. So the whole concept of safety and health in the workplace, both from a practical point of view and also from a legislative point of view. As I mentioned earlier, even though Syria may not have a well-structured legislative framework on this yet, there are a number of EU laws that apply. The second part, really, which is important in terms of understanding occupational medicine, is risk assessment, risk evaluation. How do you evaluate whether this environment is, in fact, a risk environment? There's a technical term for this. It's called industrial toxicology. And this is what is covered over, about 30 hours. Each of these modules is, in fact, about 30 hours of instruction. We were responsible for delivering a 24-hour module on epidemiology and health statistics that I mentioned was performed admirably by Drs. Kalle and Mamo a few months ago. In the second year of the course, we cover more medical topics, more clinical topics. In other words, if there has been exposure to particular toxins, say, through the lung, or say through the skin, or say through the kidneys, what kind of consequences would you expect in your patient? How do you diagnose them, and how do you treat them? We also provide instruction on the genetics, if you like, or the genesis of cancer, as well as the concepts of teratogenesis. How do some toxins actually cause malformations? This is a very interesting topic that, again, one of our own, Professor Alfred Kushkiri, will be delivering in Damascus in a couple of weeks. 30 hours of teaching on professional aspects of cancer genesis and teratogenesis. The last part of the course in the second year really covers emergencies, workplace emergencies. When things go wrong, they often go wrong very quickly, and you don't have a great deal of time to assess the situation and to deal with it. So we do provide teaching and training, and eventually in the practical component, some practical exercises on hazmat training. You know, how do you deal with a hazardous materials incident? Imagine a truck going down the regional road and suddenly it breaks down or it crashes into something and some liquid starts pouring out of the back of it and it's not water. How do you know what it is, and how do you minimize the risk to the cars that are traveling around you? Will it explode into flames? How will you deal with that? So there are a number of practical aspects to this, even theoretical course. As I said earlier, in the third year, which will come next year, the students will have the opportunity to observe firsthand the practice of occupational medicine in some of Europe's finest centers, and I must say that some of them are in fact in Rome. So we think that this is a very powerful combination of theoretical and practical exposure.
In fact, the things that you've mentioned actually are quite hot issues, both on the side of the medical side and on the practical side. I mean, things like what in the workplace might cause cancer, or other sort of more practical things. These are also political issues, if you like. Has it been easy to talk about these issues within the context of Syria? Have they been open to discussion about these issues?
Well, I can't actually answer that question fully because we haven't covered that material yet. That
Fair
comes
enough.
This year. But I will tell you that our partners whom we have talked to, our co-collaborators, if you like, in Damascus as well as in Rome, have expressed no reservations whatsoever about dealing with these issues in an open and, frankly, scientific context. There isn't very much doubt that thalidomide is teratogenic. It's in the literature. Now, you can come and tell me that's not true, and that's fine. I don't have to agree with you when there's two decades of literature to show that it is. So I think there's a limit to how much politics can hide or can obscure what is essentially scientific fact. I will agree that there are some areas that are perhaps grayer, and this is, of course, where the difficulty arises. It's in those gray areas. If I use teratogenesis as an example again, it happens to be a field that I'm interested in as I'm a gynecologist. You know, will taking two Panadols harm my pregnancy? Of course, the answer is no. But as with everything, there is a gray area. There is it's a dose-related phenomenon. So perhaps taking one tablet of thalidomide would not have caused the problem of malformations in limbs that happened about 50 years ago. But taking it on a regular basis, a dose every day for 2 or 3 weeks, did.
At the end of the day, we've said that we're going to have these centres, or you're hoping that the people who do well and take a special interest, perhaps, mm-hmm. in this course back at home will be part of the centre. So, in a way, the product of this project is going to be something which is going to carry on after the project is over, really. You yourself, it's obviously not been a very easy project in the sense that there's not been a lot of cash involved and the journeys have been difficult and this sort of thing. You yourself and your colleagues here in Malta, what do you feel at the end of the day you're going to take away from this project?
Well, I think in every collaborative activity, one learns a great deal. It is really very nice working with people who have different backgrounds. Sometimes I feel we get a little isolated in our own little world here in Malta. We are an island, of course, and so one tends to be at least mentally isolated. So one of the things that I certainly have felt through this project is one of, well, I can actually pick up the telephone and talk to Professor Bashour in Damascus and ask him, what does he think of this, and can we do it this way, and would this be okay, and he does the same. So this is the kind of professional and scientific exchanges that I think are really the hallmark of the future, if you like, of higher education. We mustn't close ourselves in our little worlds, in our little, dare I say, ivory towers, where we talk about what we need to do and why this is very important to us, when there are lots of other areas, entities, concepts that one can engage in with other individuals. So I think this is perhaps personally the most useful lesson, one of, well, we can all work together. We can do this, you know, I can do this part of it, you can do that part of it, and together the sum is greater than the individual parts. And this is very much the case here.
Yes, I think that's a very interesting comment, and we'll have to end with that, I'm afraid. Thank you very, very much, Dr. Isabel Stabile, for coming to talk to us today about this Mitra project.
Thank you.
If you would like further details about the University of Malta's research projects or any other information, please access our website at www.um.edu.mt. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.